Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you from Bloomington, Indiana, where it's Matt Cotrillo Day tomorrow. They've got the guillotine all set up in the courtyard, all ready to go.
I know, what a surprise.
And they're going to be symbolic off with their head moments. They've really turned it into quite a festival surrounding you.
Oh, really?
Oh, they love you here. You are beloved here.
I would have never thought that would ever happen.
Oh, no. Everywhere I go. I mean, you know, little kid in Iowa, you know, in the lobby and wanted their picture with me, and they think the only reason was it's because I knew you. Your impact has been phenomenal. You're kind of like the Joel Embiid of radio. 40 points a night.
No, all right. Senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. We talk about the pre-owned inventory. It may fit your budget, and your trade-in's never been worth more, and a sales staff's going to work with you. Yeah, that's how you end up with repeat business. You know, just sit there like, I'm out there to get the sale. Look, they know darn well that repeat business is just part of the heartbeat of great customer service. They understand that. And not only that, once you get the vehicle, it's going to need routine maintenance. It's going to need inspections every year. Maybe something difficult. You got a service department here that takes care of all of it. They're great at it. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Thomas Frank Carr, T. Frank from on3.com in a few moments. First, our play-by-play call of the day.
You don't even shower.
Kennard just made it a three-point game.
This thing's not over yet.
That shot was from Bethesda. Wizards up by three. Got to get it in. Got to get it in. And it's a five-second violation. Unbelievable. Kennard got to watch out. 3 seconds. Puts up the shot. Hits it. And the foul. Are you kidding me? A 35-point lead is gone. And now the Wizards have a chance to lose it. To give his team the lead. He does. No timeouts remaining. One-point game. Kuzma, that throws to down to Harrell. Out of bounds, the Wizards, with 1 second left, are going to suffer one of the worst losses maybe in franchise history.
Had a 35-point lead. Didn't win it. Kind of sounds like a lot of Matt's teams lately. All right. No wonder the guillotine gets sharpened up. Can I make one incredibly positive comment about one of your teams?
Absolutely.
Defenseman Keith Yandle. Do you see this?
Yes, I did.
Any reason why you didn't bring it up? Confused? What? I thought you'd lead the show with this. I mean, do I have to come up with all this stuff? Do I come up with all this stuff? I mean, come on. 965th consecutive game, an NHL record. He has done this with the Phoenix/Arizona Coyotes, the New York Rangers, the Florida Panthers, and now with the Philadelphia Flyers. He broke Doug Jarvis's record on Monday night in the 3-1 loss to Dallas. That part didn't surprise you. Jarvis set his benchmark on December 12, 1986, while with the Hartford Whalers. This streak began on March 26, 2009. In an incredibly physically and demanding sport like hockey, to do this is remarkable. And you know what? He may not end up with the record when it's all said and done. Because Arizona Coyotes forward Phil Kessel right now has played in 941 consecutive games. He's only 24 games behind him. But what a great, great accomplishment of every single night punching in and going to work. I mean, only 5% of all the NHL defensemen have ever played in 965 games, which he's done consecutively. He's in the midst of his 13th straight full season. Only 0.4% of all players since 1949 have even managed six consecutive seasons without missing a game. Streak stood for 34 years. Now look, is he struggling offensively? Yeah, he's got 13 points in 42 games. But his defensive play, unfortunately, has actually started to flatten out, and that may be what gets him out of the game. But all credit to him, though. He is, to do this as an Ironman, we talk about Cal Ripken Jr. and what he's done. But this is phenomenal that he set this record. And it's gone under the radar. Nobody's really talking about it. But we're talking about it. So.
That's the lone positive from the Flyers in about the last 2-3 weeks.
I'll admit, except for a game against the Penguins, I haven't seen the Flyers play.
You're not missing much.
No, I saw him play the game against the Bruins. I did see that.
Once again, you're not missing much.
Oh, I tried to tell you at the beginning of the season they weren't any good. You kept insisting this was the year. I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's why we sit in certain seats. All right. just kidding. Let's bring in T. Frank now from On3.com. Thomas Frank Card, welcome back. Always a pleasure, sir. I know it's a tough time for you after your beloved Bills lost.
I am doing well. How is Bloomington, Steve?
It's like a Buffalo Bills fan's heart. It's cold. we gave you 72 hours to recover. That had to be so painful to watch. I mean, the highs and lows that you felt on Sunday had to be like the Rocky Mountains in the valleys.
Oh, yeah. So they have those fun win probability things they do where they show the percentage chance of winning over the course of a game. And the final 2 minutes looked exactly like my heart rate monitor during the game, just up and down and up and down and then flat line at the very end. So it was – I'll say this. My introduction to football as a Bills fan was the Music City Miracle. So I have had a whole lifetime to prepare for moments like that. So – you know, I feel like I've weathered it pretty well from previous experience.
I'm sorry you've had to have previous experience. Okay.
And just some of the most heartbreaking losses that we've ever seen in the playoffs. No big deal. You know, it is what it is.
But let me ask you about Josh Allen, because you were not enamored when they drafted him, and you do a really great breakdown of quarterbacks all the time. What has allowed him to go from somebody that you weren't sure about or didn't trust to somebody that we're seeing right now? What allowed him to do that?
You know, I think that's a great way to put it, too, because we got a lot of receipts on the internet. You know, everyone wants to dunk on everybody else, talking about how if you didn't think Josh Allen was good when he was drafted, you're somehow wrong. His development has been one of the most unique things I've ever watched, because as I've told you before, Steve, when you're not good at something, if you're a quarterback, typically by the time you're 22 years old, 23 years old, you've been doing it that way your whole life.
Right.
So all of your bad habits are all ingrained. So and then when you get to the NFL, you're expected to perform. There's not teaching time like there is in college. So his ability to change those things about his delivery and his mechanics and his footwork, like literally the way he does things on an every play basis, is some of the most brilliant stuff I've ever watched. And I in no way expected that to happen. So, you know, just the work he puts in the offseason. Jordan Palmer is his quarterback coach. They work on mechanics, and he went and did a – they mapped his whole throwing motion with 3D cameras and showed exactly where he needed to fix things, kind of like a pitcher or a tennis player with their swing. And not only did he do that, he then actually followed through on it and was able to change those things about him. And then what it comes down to is all of that stuff of the player, and then the Bills organization under Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean gave him the opportunity to grow. So, like, culture, when we talk about the word culture, this is an example of it being done properly instead of just a word thrown around in a press conference word salad. I read word salad today, so I wanted to work that in.
Well done. I got to use it 5 times, and then I have it ingrained in my vocabulary. So let's get to the two kids, Drew Aller and Bo Prabhuir. They're both coming. They're both in now, for example. And by the way, what you said about quarterbacks, I've said people know on the show many times. I've talked to, like, you know, Philadelphia fans. I've said, look, most quarterbacks you look at, like, you look at them in college, I said, you'll make some improvement over time. The game will slow down for you a little bit here and there. But you sort of are who you are. And that's, you know, that's who they are. So when you look at Drew and with Bo, let's start with Drew. What are you seeing with him?
You know, we just got done talking about Josh Allen, and people want to compare the two quarterbacks for a couple of reasons. I don't like the comparison because I think that the narrative and the storyline of their careers is entirely different, from their physical growth potential to the fact that Drew is a 5-star quarterback and Josh Allen was a 6'2" quarterback coming out of high school that got 0 offers. So very different in the way they've developed. But the one area I would say that I see a comparative narrative is that Drew started his junior season, when I watched his film, his footwork and his mechanics were not, I would say, up to par with what you'd expect of a 5-star quarterback. And then over the last year, he has worked to make himself a very accurate quarterback in an offense in high school that asked him to do a lot. He was throwing 40 balls a game. And, you know, some of those are checkdowns, they're easy throws. But when you look at his film, he's reading defenses, he's doing really mature things. So from a mental standpoint, I think he's excellent. And he really put that last piece in place for me this past season as a senior to really warrant all the hype. And that is one thing that I was a little concerned about early in his development, that the hype was going to outpace his growth and development, and then he exceeded that. So that's a very impressive thing for him to do. And then it becomes about all the tools being unlocked. Size, arm strength, throwing ability, none of those things matter if you're not accurate. And now he has those things, and I've been very impressed with him.
What do you think of his footwork?
That's the part that's improved the most. I still think there are times where it's really about the end product. There's a couple of different ways you can go through your mechanics and your footwork. But really, what you want to do is you want to have a consistent, repeatable motion where you are using the proper techniques to use momentum and leverage to get torque on the ball. Essentially, you're trying to accurately spin the ball as strong as possible towards your target each time, and most quarterbacks need to open up their hips and point their toe towards their target. He does that much later in the process than I initially like, but in the end he gets the job done, and I've seen improvement in that, of just that small incremental foot placement thing. This is really getting into the weeds of what a quarterback needs to do for basic mechanics. And then once you master those things, you can go on to advanced things, off-platform throws, things like that. And he's in the early stages being very good at those things, but mastering that one particular in-rhythm technique has been really the last, I'd say, 12 months of what I watched of him and where he's improved the most.
Look at anything, there's more than one way to do it. So now let's look at Bo Prabhuir. When you look at him and his way and his style of playing, what do you like about him?
Oh, a lot. So the things I just talked about with Drew Aller, Bo Prabhuir has been really good at those the entire time. Footwork, mechanics, quickness, you know, I understand that there are the comparisons to Trace McSorley of in a lot of different ways. But I think he's got better fundamentals than Trace did when he came to Penn State. So to me, that puts him at a higher threshold to begin with. And as James Franklin talked about on signing day, with respect to Trace, Bo has more tangibles. He's bigger. He has a better arm. All of those things. So I see a guy who has, not just starting caliber potential in college, but very good starting caliber potential when it comes to his ability to execute the fundamentals of the position. Now, unlike Aller, Prabula has had less advanced concepts in his high school offense. He was not making checks at the line from what I saw. And that's something he'll have to learn. So from the mental aspect, there's more to learn about him processing the game. But as far as things he was asked to do, I thought he did them all at an exemplary level.
We did get an extended view of Christian Vayu because of the Rutgers game. When you watched him, what did you think of him?
The first thing that I noticed was his play under pressure. So that was a game where he was getting hit, and he was, there were guys in the pocket around him because Rutgers, there's a couple different ways that you can attack a young quarterback. And their game plan was predicated on Sean Clifford. And that had been the narrative all season is put pressure on Sean Clifford, send blitzers, get guys in his face, make him make plays in that situation. So they didn't play a lot of zone concepts and try to confuse him too much when it came to post-snap recognition. But when he had pressure in his face in those times and he had single coverage, he delivered the ball on the frame to the receiver. And that was, I thought that was really impressive. His ability to, we talk about all that stuff we just talked about with footwork and mechanics and all those things. You can't always throw with great discipline. Sometimes you have to throw off platform. And he did that very well. And I thought he was poised and really controlled under pressure. So that was a very impressive thing to see early on from a young guy. And that's a hard thing. Like, having that ability is a bit of a differentiator. That sets you apart. So I was very curious to see more of him as the season went on, if we got a chance to. And then the final drive against Arkansas in the Outback Bowl, again, there wasn't a ton of information when he had two or three throws,
no.
And one of them's third and 17.
Right. No, exactly. But that, people always wonder about that. So when you look at Sean Clifford, right? Now, Sean, he got banged up at the end of 19. He got banged, he had to fight through a tough injury. Was there a difference in Sean Clifford mechanically from the opening six games of the season as opposed to the last seven?
So this is tough for me because I don't know what injury, we kind of speculate injuries. James Franklin
right.
doesn't talk about them, right?
I don't know
how long it lasted for Clifford and how that affected him positionally. It didn't, on the outside, seem to affect him as a thrower. I'll say that. So whatever's going on was a pain management thing. And it was obviously an upper body injury. It wasn't a lower body injury from what we saw from the hit at Iowa. So that does change how you can put velocity on the ball. It does change a couple of things, but it's not going to be perceptive to the eye, I don't think. So that's the struggle with the evaluation of Clifford over the end of the season.
Okay. Fair enough. That's fair enough, because obviously I know that you got a little more info to work with. I have to ask you about the guy Baker Mayfield. Because you are Baker Mayfield. Why is it that this level has been more of a struggle than maybe it should be?
There are a couple of things that factor. The first thing is this past season, kind of going back to Sean Clifford.
Well, he was hurt.
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't quite hear you.
If Mayfield was hurt, anybody who needs surgery is hurt. So, that's part of it. But why other elements not falling into place?
So I would say, kind of going back to Sean Clifford, is pain and injury can affect your mental process. So if part of your runtime, if your brain is a computer, part of your runtime is managing that injury. Unless you have incredible discipline, it is reasonable to assume that your performance is going to suffer from a mental perspective as well, because you aren't out there just reacting. Your body is different. You got to manage those things. But when it comes to Baker Mayfield, and this has been pretty consistent throughout his career, is that when he presses, when he is trying to make a play, he makes mistakes. So he's not he has not shown, I think, to this point, rising to the occasion in those pressure moments for a number of reasons. His accuracy tends to suffer. He makes poorer decisions in those situations. And I do think that pressure, literally in the pocket, is a big part of that, which is, I think, disappointing if you're a Browns fan, because that system that they run with play action, bootlegs, it should fit him perfectly. And it does not seem to, because there is a disconnect between his efficiency on a game-to-game basis and then his play in those situations. So I think it's a number of things, including what we saw his rookie season in a bad offense, and then trying to integrate into this particular one with Stefanski, I think it is, that's there. It's been a bumpy ride, but ultimately I think we see the difference between a guy like Josh Allen, who had the tools and developed, and a guy like Baker Mayfield, who has good tools but didn't develop in the right situation, whether that's him or that's the organization. Those steps to take to become great that he was in his profile did never happen. He was just closer to the guy you wanted at the start, but he never took the next step to be that guy.
Great work as always. You know how much I respect the job you do and how you break down film and analysis, and it's just great to have you back on the show, my friend.
Well, I work from home. I self-quarantine by my job description. So human interaction, Steve, is phenomenal. So it's great talking to you.
That's why I excel, human interaction.
Yeah, you're out and about. You're jet-setting, going to Bloomington and back for a game against Iowa next week. So you're a man about town.
Exactly. I am a jet setter. Not many people can go to Iowa City one day and go to Bloomington the next. I mean, it's not exactly Monte Carlo, but it's a form of jet setting.
Yeah, that's good. I've said this before. There are beautiful places everywhere in the world, even some of the less beautiful places. So it's all about a frame of mind, and you always have a good one of those.
Great to be with you, my friend. Thank you so much for your time today.
All right. See you, Steve.
Thomas Frank Carr on 3.com. Chris Mack has met the Matt Catrillo fate. The Louisville basketball coach has been fired.
There it is.
If we had a camera in the studio, the smile on Matt Catrillo's face.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Not only great inventory, but new inventory, which is great, which brings with it the warranties. The best of the business, in fact. Pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, invaluable. No question, invaluable. And your trade-in's never been worth more. The service department, inspections, phenomenal. Great job with routine maintenance and a great job with anything complicated. It's one-stop shopping. That's why customer service means everything to them on every level. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So Chris Mack is out as the head basketball coach at Louisville. This is something, by the way, that Matt has campaigned for all 358 head coaches in college basketball to be fired. So here's one. Went down 357 to go.
Gone.
Now you sound like that. Gone. Hey, by the way, talk about gone. I'll get back to Chris Mack in a moment. I just want to make a quick comment about Country Cupboard.
Yeah, that's such a shame.
Sorry to see you go.
Yeah.
That's hard. I believe I went to college. At Penn State Wilkes-Barre with somebody I think that worked at Country Cupboard. And she was actually in radio at WMLP, which at one point we'd had in our sphere in Milton.
Correct.
And was, and believe me, worked with her in college radio. She was phenomenal. But I think she worked at Country Cupboard. Her name was Mona Antonitis. And Mona got married, I think, to a guy named Ron Rary. So her married name would be Mona Rary. And I think she worked at Bucknell. And I think she worked at Country Cupboard, you know, at one point. And, yeah, I was just sorry to see that happen. So I just want to recognize that. Yeah, it's kind of been a staple in Union County for such a long time. I mean, you're talking about 50 years. I mean, almost 50 years. Yep. I was sorry to see that happen. But as soon as I saw that, I thought of Mana. So, because I think she worked there, but she also was doing work at WMLP, and I know she's done work at Bucknell, and, you know, just a great, great person. Boy, you know, just one of the great people to be around in college the first couple of years I was at Penn State Wilkes-Barre. So, but I saw that, and I thought of her. I was like, geez, that's a tough one. All right. So back now to Chris Mack out at Louisville. Chris Mack was one of the really hot names in college basketball coaching circles because of what he was doing at Xavier at the time. And everybody's, you know, every time a job came up, his name would come up. Over and over. And finally, he left Xavier and took the Louisville job. And at Louisville, he gets in the NCAA tournament the first year. Now, he would have made it in 20, obviously. As you know, just like Penn State would have made it in 20, but there ended up being no tournament. But then the last couple of years have been, you know, for Louisville standards, eyebrow raising. And when that came about, there was an off-season incident with the firing of Dino Gaudio, who had been on his staff as an assistant coach. And Gaudio was then accused of extorting money or attempting to extort money that he would reveal all the NCAA dirt on the program. You know, so he goes 1-and-done in the 2019 tournament, 24-and-7. They, you know, then there's no tournament in 20. They went 13-and-7 last year. There were multiple, like everybody, multiple scheduling cancellations, COVID pauses, everything, you name it. And they don't get into the tournament. So he made some staff changes. So former assistant Dino Gaudio was one of them. He then threatened to extort Mack if he didn't help Gaudio get the money he thought he deserved. Mack secretly recorded that conversation. So far, this is going really well. Gaudio was charged with an extortion attempt, but eventually let off lightly and avoided serving time in prison. The university said Mack's decision to fire Gaudio violated proper university procedure and suspended Mack for the first six games of this season. Recent issues beyond last season's drama accelerated his ouster. Now, he had a $12 million buyout. Supposedly, they have negotiated a different number, because there is a clause that brings the number down to zero if level one or level two violations occur in his watch. But I think they've negotiated a number that's obviously lower than $12 million. Louisville has lost five of its last six games. The only win was at home against Boston College. They lost by a dozen to Pitt. Pitt hasn't been playing well. He says, we're not getting the job done here. That falls on my shoulders. I've got to figure something out. Now, his split with Louisville comes at a time when the university does not have a sitting president or athletic director. Gee, I wonder where the president went. Oh, that's right. She's coming here. Neely Bendapudi starts here. I think it's May 9th. Dr. Barron wanted to go through one final graduation, then he's stepping aside. So I think she's starting May 9th. So he's out at Louisville. He says, look, I understand what's going on. He says, I get it. He says, you know, nobody wants to win more than I do. He said, but he also says he has struggled to figure his team out. He's been open about it. He says, I can't figure these guys out. So they asked some of the players, and the players all said they didn't want to talk about it. You know, in other words, like, they had a chance here to step up and support the coach, right? And they didn't do it. Max said today it's a hard place. You got to win games. He said the two sides agreed that the place had become too toxic for Chris Mack to continue. They're now 11-9 on the year. 11-9. Senior forward Malik Williams was asked whether the players were still responding to the coaching staff. I don't have a comment for that, he said. Not good. I haven't heard stuff like that since the staff meeting. What?
Oh, my almighty!
So, they also said that Mack did not demonstrate that he promoted an atmosphere of compliance. So Chris Mack, who was without question for years one of the hottest names that every Power 5 school had to have because he was doing such a great job at Xavier. Now goes to Louisville where, but the, hey, look, he'll be great there in the whole deal. And it didn't work out. It didn't work out. It's a big surprise. I mean, not the way this past year's played out. Now, the way the past year's played out, you're kind of wondering how long he would survive. But just I'm talking about the initial fit of, wow, Chris Mack, Power 5, he goes to Louisville, great fit. You know, I thought it was going to be a great fit for Louisville. Didn't work out that way. So now you have two Power 5 schools, Maryland and Louisville, that are working right now with interim coaches. Danny Manning, of course, is coaching in Maryland. And Maryland just won at Rutgers. A big win that was. And I think Maryland won at Illinois, too. Beat Illinois, too. Yeah, even though Maryland has struggled a lot, they were able to, you know, get a couple wins like that. So that is the story on Louisville basketball. I wanted to do something that would make you happy. When somebody gets fired and goes through something miserable, you seem to smile.
Well, it's just that entire Louisville program's been a complete disaster for the last few years now, so it's not surprising to me.
It's interesting how it's played out down there. I don't know. They have an awesome facility. Now, I think the city owns the facility, the KFC Yum Center. It's like 22,000 seats. Huge. The football stadium. I don't know what, I think it's called Cardinal Stadium now. Originally it was Papa John's, and then of course they had that split with Papa John about what, you know, a couple things he said or wrote or whatever. And you know, that's supposedly, that's a beautiful place. But facility wise they're fine. Conference wise they're fine, but man, they got a lot of problems right now. A lot of problems. All right, we'll take a break. Can you sound any happier on the show? I knew if I brought up somebody who's just struggling in life and just lost their job, it would probably be the part that like would just send you to the car on cloud nine.
Well, I actually do. There is a couple things that I'm looking forward to. Actually, many things I'm looking forward to for all of next week's here on the show that doesn't have to do with anybody getting fired. I can explain that next.
Sure, you can explain it. In fact, I may go get a bite to eat. So we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, great to have you with us here in Bloomington, home of the Center Square Guillotine.
Penn State better have that mentality on the boards tonight.
They love you here.
Well, I appreciate the love, Bloomington.
The rebounding part is going to be a critical part tonight. Look, Penn State's rebounded well all season, but then the second half against Iowa, you can't give up 10 offensive rebounds, especially in the game in the first half. Iowa had one. So you feel like that part of it, they had some control over what was going on. And were tough as nails in the first half. In the second half, you know, Dick and I were, to be honest with you, we were a bit surprised in the second half by how the rebounding played out. So obviously it's a point of emphasis tonight. What's going to be interesting is when they played Indiana the first time, Micah deliberately came out with zone after every timeout. And it completely baffled Indiana. I mean, totally baffled them. Now, you know darn well they've been working on it. So I'm wondering tonight if Penn State goes faux zone. This is kind of like, I feel like we're back to the staff meeting now. There's a lot of faux stuff in the staff meeting. It's like, you know, like what are you talking about? Where you come out, they come out the floor, and you show a 2-3 zone, but you're playing man-to-man. So that's what I'm wondering. And Penn State's good at it, by the way. They're very good at showing it, and then they go man-to-man. So it's not like something I've never seen them do before, but I wonder if that's something that they'll do. Something to think about for tonight. And then by the end of the week, we should have something on the Minnesota game before the week is out on what they want to do with the Minnesota game that was missed last week. So by the end of the week, we should probably hear something about one way or the other, okay? I think I've got a date picked out of my mind as to what I think the date is if they do play it. And if they do, after looking at schedules, there's a date I had in mind that I thought might be a fit for both teams. So we'll see if that ends up being a fact or not. It's been a great day for Matt. Bonds didn't get in, Matt happy. Clemens didn't get in, Matt happy. A coach got fired at Louisville, Matt happy. I mean, it's just, this has been a day of joy for you.
And it's only going to get better next week, Steve. But as I said before the break, not because of people getting fired. As you know, next week we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of the show, which will culminate with next Friday's show. So all next week, Steve, you are going to be talking to mystery guests. I'm not going to tell you who they are, but they're going to be calling in during the week next week to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the Steve Jones Show.
Mystery guests.
I will say you will like all these guests, and I'll just leave it at that.
I would hope so. What do you want to? Today's show's all enemies. Great.
I've got some things up my sleeve.
You do, huh? It's all mystery guests, huh? All right.
In addition to our normal guests that we have every week, but yeah. So.
Oh, we're actually going to have, like, normal people on. Okay,
that
good.
That too, yes.
Great. I look forward to it. Well, it's been a privilege to be here for 10 years. It's funny when Roger, this is all Roger's idea. The whole thing is Roger Haddon's idea.
That is correct.
All the way through. And I said, geez, it'd be great if we could do this for 10 years. And he goes, absolutely. Well, here we are. I guess we finally got to that point, so I guess we'll find out if Roger wants to go longer. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Great to be with you. Today, Penn State basketball tonight, Indiana at 8:30. This will be a night where I'm the junior member out there tonight. Don Fisher's done Indiana games for 49 seasons. I'm the kid.